Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a delight to see you all this morning as we seek to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. All ladies, please note, due to unforeseen circumstances, this Tuesday, October 10th, Presbyterian Women's Circles that normally meet at 10 and 7 will not meet this month. We hope that you will plan to meet with them next month, Tuesday, November 14th. So that's important. Please hear that. October's community meal will be held this coming Thursday, October 12th, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at Hillcrest Baptist Church's Family Life Center on the corner of 200 Kentbury and 8501 Bellhaven Boulevard. This month's menu will be pork loin, rice, lima beans, and dessert. Join us for a free and delicious meal and some great fellowship, and please invite a friend to join you. We had a great time last month at that church, and we look forward to seeing everybody again. Make sure you invite folks and let folks know that we're still doing it. Just a reminder that Cook's Homecoming Sunday will be on October 22nd, and we're going back to the potluck lunch, so please bring any dishes you'd like to share with everyone, including meats, and be sure to invite any former members or friends of Cook's to join us. Operation North State is going to be told a little bit more about by Freddie Cox shortly, but we've also got some other events coming up. Operation Christmas Child Collection will be from November 6th through the 17th, and the Angel Tree Collection will start on November 19th. See the weekly newsletter for more information about these collections. We will also observe All Saints Day on November the 5th during our 10 a.m. worship service, the annual Hanging of the Greens party, and our sanctuary will be on the afternoon of November 19th. Afterwards, those who would like to can join us at Sports Page, where we'll reserve their back room to enjoy dinner. Then also in December, we've got the Queen City Ringers. Will ring us into the Christmas spirit with their handbell concert on Saturday, December 2nd from 4 to 5:30 in our sanctuary. Our very own Bonnie Pace and Clayton McDaniel are part of that group, so be sure to reserve that day and time to join us. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in fond memory of my dear wife and partner in life, Harriet, by Jack Parker. And, of course, Jack is, as we know, at Huntersville Assisted Living Facility, and we continue our prayers for him. He's making some improvements. Those are the announcements I have. Before we get to Freddie, do we have any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? Okay, that being the case, Freddie.
Good morning. I'm looking forward to that handbell concert. I hope y'all enjoyed it last Sunday when they played. That was really nice. I wanted to say a few words about Operation North State Christmas Boxes. This organization first started sending Christmas boxes to our troops on overseas deployments, and that was just troops from North Carolina. And our church has been involved and assisted with this since 2011. That's when we first started collecting items for the troops. But some changes were made due to changes in customs and a rise in cost of shipping. For those troops, Operation North State has had to localize the distribution of the boxes to veterans in need and shut-in veterans within our state. So that's the way it stands now. This year is the project's 14th season, and it utilizes North Carolina's people, places, products, and pride to provide a Christmas gift and show of appreciation to North Carolina shut-in veterans. This year's project will pack 1,500 of these Christmas boxes, and they'll use 11 veteran support service partners to deliver these boxes to the shut-in veterans throughout our state. Operation North State's original model and goal for the project is to utilize North Carolina's people, places, products, and pride in these boxes. And their motto is, North Carolina, this is your box. Lend a hand if you can. And a large component of this Christmas box project is the collection box drives. And that's what we're participating in each year. And they're looking to have about 90 collection box partners throughout the state this year. All the goods collected during the drive will be added to the Christmas boxes themselves. These are fun and heartfelt projects. Lend a hand if you can. You can help with the drive by donating items requested, and there's a list by these veterans, or you can send cash. And we'll collect these from it says in the bulletin October 22nd. That would be homecoming, but the boxes are already here, so we'll probably have them out by next Sunday. But November 5th is a drop deadline, so because they'll need for us to take them up to Winston-Salem so they can start distributing them. But these collection boxes, here's what they look like. We're going to have some in the narthex and some in the educational building as well. All right. And the veterans also like when children draw something, and they like Christmas cards. So one thing that we could do if there's a Sunday school class or women of the church or men of the church want to each sign a Christmas cards and put in the box, that would be cool. Because that means a lot when you see that a whole group of people is telling you that they love you and thank you for their service. That's special. So that would be much appreciated. And they said, thanks for your support. Their website is Operation North State, and they're very easy to find on the internet. They're even easier to find on Facebook. Thank you.
Yeah, we're grateful for that collection. And again, having to go through this broken bone in my foot just reminds me of what a great debt we owe to our armed forces. Because this kind of bone, I've taken off of cooking and cleaning, and, you know, I've really kind of taken it easy. But I'm reminded that if I was in the armed forces, there would be no rest. You just need to go. So we got to take care of our troops as they've come home and now find themselves in less than ideal situations. So please participate with that giveaway. We come now into a time for our call to worship.
Hey. Please join me in the call to worship. Okay. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me.
Lord our God, we cried out to you for help and you healed us.
You, Lord, brought us up from the realm of the dead. You spared us from going down to the pit.
Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name.
For his anger only lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
When we felt secure, we said, we will never be shaken.
I'm so good.
Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we come before you in humble adoration, acknowledging your sovereignty over our lives. We glorify you, Father, for your boundless love and faithfulness, for lifting us out of the depths of despair and setting our feet on solid ground. O Redeemer, Son, we thank you for being our Savior, turning our mourning into dancing and girding us with gladness. In moments of darkness and tribulation, your light perpetually shines upon us, bringing into our hearts an enduring joy and a peace that transcends all understanding. O Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Guide, we welcome your presence among us today. Inspire our hearts that we might embody the love and mercy you have poured out so freely upon us. Envelope us with your comforting embrace during times of sorrow and lead us on the path of righteousness. Father, we remember that your favor is not a momentary gift, but an everlasting promise. Though weeping may tarry for the night, your joy comes in the morning, transcending our trials and tests. We hold firmly on to your eternal promises, assured that your steadfast love never ceases. In your holy and precious and almighty name we pray this morning. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise now and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 35. resurrection, Jesus Christ came to the disciples, showing them his hands and his feet. He said to them, "Peace be with you." Soon thereafter, he came and said to them, "As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." In celebration of this sending to share the message of peace, we pass the peace this morning amongst ourselves as a celebration and a preparation to do it more as we depart. So let us pass the peace of our love, Jesus Christ. We turn now our attention in the service to the confession of our sin corporately. We do this expecting to encounter God's grace and not his condemnation. John 3:17 reminds us, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but rather that the world should be saved through him. And so we know that as we reach up with the shortcomings of our lives and our hearts, that God is pouring his mercy, love, and forgiveness upon us. We confess using general corporate words, and then we leave time for personal silent confession of sin toward the end. Please avail yourself of it, using that time to unburden yourself before the Lord so that you can feel the goodness of his mercy as well. Join me as we pray together. We come before you with humble hearts, acknowledging our need for your forgiveness and grace. We confess our shortcomings, our sins, and our failures. We confess the times when we have strayed from your path, following our own desires and ignoring your will. We ask for your forgiveness for the times we have hurt others intentionally or unintentionally, for the words we have spoken in anger and the actions we have taken in selfishness. We confess our pride, Lord, for the moments when we have thought too highly of ourselves and too little of others. We acknowledge our greed for the times we have placed material possessions and worldly gain above you and our neighbors. We humbly ask you for forgiveness, Lord, and for your guidance and wisdom to walk in your ways. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Help us to turn away from our sinful ways and to follow you with all our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. By the waters of our baptisms, I declare to you this wonderful truth, that what God has claimed through his water will never be taken from him. Friends, we can believe the good news, knowing that our sin is forgiven and that our lives continue in him even beyond our deaths. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Let us join our voices together using the words of the ancient Apostles' Creed to give shape to what it is we believe in Christ. Join me.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 51. this point, we'd like to invite the kids to come forward for a time with Mr. Clayton that's just for them.
Morning. What's happening? Doing all right? How's school? Bad? Tiring? What else? As good as it can be. Well, I've got some good answers here. Cool. Thank you. Thank you. Well, do you know what special day is coming up this week? Yes, tomorrow is Monday. Yes. We do colors, okay? Yes. No, what happens the 11th? Do you know what happens in 3Ds? 3 days? No, Halloween is not the 11th. No, a little ahead. It's Veterans Day, okay? And Veterans Day is a day that we support the veterans all throughout this country. Because think about it, we have freedom because of all the people that have served all the countless years. So our scripture today is on the armor of God. So I'm going to pass out some papers, okay? So come get a paper. Thank you. And give the one for each of them. All right. Now, maybe I know my writing. I know I write in tongues. I'm sorry. I know. It's bad. One of the things you do about armor is if you ask somebody who has served in the military, my dad was in the Air Force. I was born on an Air Force base. When you ask somebody who's a soldier, the last thing they want is to go to war and to fight. But sometimes they're called to do that. But if you think in the history of fighting in this country, you have to be prepared, unfortunately. So today's scripture is on the armor of God, okay? So who has number one? Okay, what's your part? The belt of truth, okay? Why is a belt important? Yeah, to keep something up. Yes, that's very true. It is. All right. You don't want to lose your pants at any time, but especially if you're on the battlefield. All right. And you have to remember in the olden days, and I'm talking way back in the Romans, they only had a belt. It wasn't just to hold the pants up. It was also to have things on the belt and to make sure that everything was together. Yeah. Tactical pantsing. Very good term. Yes. Yes, almost like a tool belt, yes. So that's the first part of the armor. Who has number two? Elena, what is yours? Do you know what that says? Breastplate. Breastplate. Do you know what a breastplate is? Of righteousness, but close. Yes, a breastplate connects. When they had the belt, it connected up here for the whole part of the armor. So it basically protected your chest, your heart, everything up here. All right, who has number three?
McKenna,
what's yours?
Shoes of peace.
Shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, if you've ever seen in the early Roman days, they had shoes where they were kind of sandals, but they were much harder and tougher, and they had coverings on the feet because think about it, you were fighting in all kinds of elements. You were in swamps, you were in mud, you were in all these things. So the last thing you wanted to do was to lose your shoes because you needed that to stand, and the Bible talks about that in our scripture today. Okay, so far we've got the belt, we've got the breastplate, we've got the shoes. Who's got number four? Okay, what's yours? The shield of faith, okay? What does the shield protect?
Everything,
okay? You keep the shield out in front of you, okay? So whether it's high or low, you've got that shield. That protects everything, whatever the blow is that somebody is delivering. It does block sight line. Very good. And there were strategies in the olden days, if you've seen the movie Troy or things like that, they would take the shields and they put them one by one in front of each other. So when an invading army was coming, there was a wall of shields. They could not get through. Very good. Yes, that is. Phalanx. So, all right, so that's number four. Who has five?
Helmet.
The helmet. The helmet of salvation. You'll get it there in a second. Keep going. Huh? Yes, it just says helmet. We have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. The shoes fit with the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith, which the scriptures say to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. We have the helmet of salvation, which protects what? Your head. Okay? Okay, well, sometimes. But again, that helmet is not only protecting your head in a spiritual sense. Your head is your mind, what you know. Okay, your heart is the essence of who a person is, but the head also and the heart combine together. And so that head knows that you are saved. It's the helmet of salvation. And you try to live. We try to live our life every day in that salvation. All right, who has the last one? Yes, Lily.
Not the last one.
Six. Six, yes.
He has seven.
But this is the last piece of the physical armor. Okay. What is it? The sword of the Spirit, which is what in capital letters on your paper? The Word of God. Let me ask you something. How did creation happen?
Magic.
No, it was not magic.
Oh,
how did he specifically do it? You remember back in Genesis? God said what? Let there be light. The power of the Word of God. It is the most powerful thing that we can use. You remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan three times? Every single time he said, "It is written." We need to be a people of "it is written," knowing that Word of God, because that's the sword. Look at all the pieces of the armor. You notice all the pieces are defensive. The only offensive piece is the sword, which is the Word of God. Well, it could. If you're in the Star Wars universe, yes, it would be a lightsaber, yes. All right, now, there is another piece of the armor, and what is that? Oh, wise one. Yes. It's prayer. Everything begins and ends with prayer, and the scripture says pray without ceasing. It says pray on all occasions, giving all requests and prayers to God. I heard a speaker once say, I've never forgotten it, he said, prayer unleashes the power of God. But James says you don't have because you don't ask. So it's important for us to not just go with God before our request and what we need, but also just to pray for guidance and wisdom and power and understanding and all the things we need every day, because the scripture says our battle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not against other people. There's a spiritual battle, so we have to put on the spiritual armor. All right? Join me in prayer. Lord God, thank you for the armor that you give us. Thank you for the power of your word. Help us to put on the armor every day. And most importantly, help us to pray every day. Use us for your glory. In the name of your Son. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's Word. As Presbyterians, we're people of the book. That means we look to the Bible as our source of inspiration and communion with God. We find there in the Word something irreplaceable in our lives of faith. And so we begin with a prayer to prepare us for this time. Join me as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, and breathe into us again. Heavenly Father, fill us with your Spirit's power so that we can hear these words of your Scripture as well as its proclamation and embrace the truth that you're providing for us. Enable us to receive your Word with newfound ears so that we can hear again how you would have us do and what you would have us be. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's old scripture reading is Psalm number 144, found on page 621 in your pew Bible. Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. O Lord, what is man that you care for him? The son of man that you think of him. Man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow. Part your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so they smoke. Send forth lightning and scatter the enemies. Shoot your arrows and rout them. Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. I will sing a song to you, O God, on the 10-string lyre. I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David from the deadly sword. Deliver me and rescue me from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. Then our sons and their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There will be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people of whom this is true. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes to us from Paul's letter to the Ephesian churches. It's a familiar passage. Interestingly, even though I've been doing this for 15 years, I've never preached this passage before. So it's a strange thing. Let us hear now the word from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Hear now the word of our Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It was about a decade ago. I didn't see it happen, but I did see material about it later after the fact. About 10 years ago, a young man showed up at CNN. He was from Ghana, actually, and he had an interview with their IT department. He was going to take a job in their technical department, helping them with computers and networking and all the stuff that a multinational kind of news organization would need. And he was there in the waiting room, and things got kind of interesting. He was summoned. He was told to come back very hastily, and he did. And the next thing you know, before he had a chance to really assess what was going on, there were people putting a little lavalier mic on him and making sure that he looked appropriate. And, of course, you know, this young man from Ghana is just thinking this is an odd interview, but he's going along with it. The next thing you know, the lights come up. He's actually on the air. They've made a mistake. They think he is the guest that's going to talk about an ongoing dispute between the Apple Computer Corporation and Apple Records, which was, I think, a subsidiary of the Beatles at one point. They were in some kind of lawsuit. And he was taken and assumed to be the leading expert on this. And so the young man, you ought to go Google it and see, because he thinks he's in an interview, right? And they're just throwing things at him. So he really does try to do a good job, but it's obvious that as they're talking about the intricacies of this case, that he just has absolutely no idea what's going on, poor guy. It'd be interesting, I didn't follow up, if he got the job at least, if they're going to put him on air, right? It stands to reason they ought to hire the guy, right? It just goes to show that when you're not prepared, you can be put into some pretty uncomfortable positions. I remember there was a rule at my junior high that you always came to gym class dressed out and ready to go, because they had this thing where they made you run a couple of laps every day. And one day, I just forgot my athletic shoes and only had my loafers on. And I came out, and I really did. I assumed the coach was going to give me a pass, right? I mean, I got loafers on. I can't run, right? No. Get to running. It was uncomfortable, and I'm lucky I didn't sprain my ankle. I just wasn't prepared. You know, sometimes we're not prepared. And it made me think a lot about our lives and faith, honestly. And as I began to think a little bit more about it, I realized that there's a kind of a different approach that you would take if you were getting in a body of water. Now, let's say on the one hand, you're going for a ride in a nice lazy river, right? Might have your swim trunks on, swim shirt. You might get a cool soda or something. You'd be relatively geared out for relaxing. But what if you were, say, in World War II and were being loaded onto a troop transport for D-Day, right? Would you want swim trunks? Would you want your favorite beverage, right? You wouldn't. You'd want to be prepared, because you would know that what you were going into was a very dangerous and difficult situation. There's two ways of preparing for life. One, thinking of it much like a lazy river. And the other was kind of opposite, thinking of things like there was combat going on. Now, look, I'll tell you right off the bat, I am absolutely 100% a lazy river kind of person. I would much rather be with, my swim trunks and just going along a nice, gentle path in a circle and back again. You know, it's nice and calm and floating. But that vision of what life is or could be like runs into a real difficult time as you try to square that with the Bible. The Bible gives us very much a different picture of life than a lazy river. And honestly, the more and more I read the Word, the more I see that it is inclining us toward a combat kind of mind. There is, in fact, an ongoing battle between good and evil. The great news is, unlike all those Hollywood sci-fi movies or whatever, apocalypse movies where there's real danger, for us Christians, we know how this thing ends. We know that in the end, evil is in fact defeated forever. In fact, in some ways, that's already happening, even now. But one day, Jesus will come again and evil will end forever. So we don't have the same kinds of fears that the general world has when it comes to the end of the world or things like that. But the Bible also introduces us to a character that is difficult. And we hear about him in this particular passage as Paul reminds us that the schemes of the devil are very real. You see, in the Bible, there's a character that is through the very beginning pages to the very end pages that causes for us some real consternation. And of course, I talk about Satan here. Satan, simply meaning tempter, honestly, is what the actual word means. And gosh, we've got our own images of what that devil looks like, and it's interesting. If we probably all have a little horned guy with a tail and maybe a spikes on the tail. We've got this kind of comic book image. As a matter of fact, in C.S. Lewis's book called The Screwtape Letters, he actually, which is the kind of hard to imagine, but The Screwtape Letters is the imagined correspondence between an archdemon in the service of Satan and a lower demon that's working on seducing Christians to away from their path. And in this book, this archdemon says that one of the great things that they did in far as advancing the rule of evil was to give people this kind of comic book image. Because when we get comic book images, we kind of, it's easy to downplay them and push them aside and think, oh, that's just for the local blockbuster movie, I don't have anything to deal with that. But the Bible gives us a more harrowing piece, a picture. Of course, we're introduced to Satan in the very beginning, aren't we? In the book of Genesis, he's there personified as the serpent. We see that this one rule that God has given his people is violated. And it's the Satan, the tempter, that comes forward and kind of asks the right questions and really just facilitates the whole fall in some regards. You get the sense that it wasn't too hard of a push, but it was a push, a little bit of one. We run into the devil again in some kind of interesting places in both Ezekiel and Isaiah. There's some passages that sometimes can be ascribed to foreign kings, but behind them you recognize that there is this force that's moving things in a negative direction and that what's being talked about is the devil. And in these we can kind of infer that the devil was an angel that somehow decided to try to usurp God's authority. Now, we get into some trouble when we talk about the devil because there isn't tons of it in the Bible. And what there is a ton of material creatively written by a guy named John Milton. And he wrote a book called Paradise Lost. It's wonderful. It's about the devil and it's interesting. But, of course, it's all fiction. And sometimes we conflate those two and put parts of Paradise Lost in the Bible and put parts of the Bible in Paradise Lost, and it gets to be a jumble. But the fact of the matter is, it's very clear that this character, this devil, was at one point higher up in the organization, I guess would be a way to put it, but has fallen because of pride. We know that, that much we can tell. And that's why, you know, as the Bible categorizes sin, oftentimes you're going to see that pride is considered to be kind of the chief enemy among all of them. But all that to say is that there is this person, this negative character. He appears in Job, certainly, as causing all sorts of problems for Job. And again, in Revelation, we meet the devil tempting Jesus in the wilderness. He's there. And I will tell you that I am still very firmly a rationalist. Rationalists seek to understand things through reason and logic and mathematics, and we tend to try to figure out the world using just our minds. And to be honest, this talk of Satan and spiritual forces would not have been a sermon I could have preached 10 or 15 years ago because I was so rationalistic and not in the Word that I didn't really know as much as I do now. But what I know now is what the Bible has told us is that there is this force, this negative, malevolent entity, and he's to be avoided. 1 Peter talks about and says the devil is prowling around you like a lion. I'm not here to scare people. That's not the point. The point is that Paul very much wants us in a preparation stance. He wants us preparing for the war that's going on right outside our door. And the war is simply this, good and evil, light and dark. There is a battle that's happening. Now, again, come back and remember, we know how this battle ends, so we don't really fear. But we do have to endure, and we do have to survive, and we do absolutely have to be prepared. Because the thing that the Bible gives us is in this world that's broken, and we know it, and we see this cosmic battle between good and evil taking place, there are folks that are on the right side, and they bear the light. And those people are us. We're the ones that in this world of brokenness and cosmic malaise, that we're the ones that are the shining exemplars of Christ's love and mercy in this fallen world. And in order to do that, we very much have to be prepared. That's the point that Paul makes here in Ephesians as he talks about being prepared for this battle, this war that's ongoing. And he wants us to use a very important image of a warrior getting ready for battle. Now, we see Paul do this numbers of times in his missives. Paul very clearly understood somehow life in the legions, that is, in the Roman service, army service, because he turns at certain points and times and uses their language and their images. We see it in Philippians. We see it here again in Ephesians, and we see it in Corinthians as well. And it's interesting to note, historically, this bore real fruit. One of the first groups in Rome that saw conversions to Christianity very early on were the legions. And there's some sense that Paul, in his, you know, he talked about being shackled or something. He's handcuffed, an ambassador of the gospel that's handcuffed. Remember, he's being taken back to Rome for trial, and the people he's interacting with are soldiers. So he's evangelizing these soldiers. And what he shares is a very consequential list of equipment that we're going to need, things that we need to have and be prepared with. And Clayton did an outstanding job of going through that with the kids. We've got the belt of truth. It's the significance is maintaining integrity and commitment. And, of course, the quote is, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Jesus Christ, as we know, is the embodiment of truth, him telling us in the Gospel of John, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And so this belt is very, very important to us. And as Clayton mentioned, it's really for girding our loins. Now, that seems like an antiquated expression, and it certainly is. But remember, what they wore in the old days was largely tunics and things much like this. I guess you call it a robe. I always call it a gown. I don't know why. But you would need in a war to not have it down so much. So you would bring it up and tie the belt around so your legs would be free and you would be then less encumbered. You need to be in a posture and a stance and ability to move very quickly. And this girding of your loins, this tightening of this belt of truth is so important. It also directs us to the fact that there is real truth in the world that we shouldn't overlook, that this isn't a commodity that's empty. If truth is a thing in this universe, then there is truth and there is falsity. And we can get away from some of the language of modern times and know that they're not a multiplicity of truths. There is, in fact, God's truth and then there's falsity. We also have the breastplate of righteousness. It's a symbol of our moral and spiritual purity. Stand firm, then, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, Paul tells us. This is our righteousness that comes through our faith in Jesus Christ. And what Paul wants us to know is that we must be righteous through our faith. There's the shoes of readiness, representing preparedness and being grounded in the gospel. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:1. In Romans later, Paul goes on to tell us that there is a joy that comes in spreading this gospel of peace, that we wear the shoes. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So just simply having these shoes of readiness prepares it. There's the shield of faith, a protective barrier against the devil's fiery darts. The Bible tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, of things left unseen. Martin Luther reminds us that faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit round out our armor and prepare us for the work that we have ahead. You know, the Bible is the cradle wherein Christ is laid, and as we embrace and surround ourselves with that truth, that capital T truth, our lives will change. We must remember that we're not on a lazy river, right? Our lives have meaning, and this war is ongoing, and we can have an effect, right? And sometimes it doesn't seem like that. And it just reminds me of the old story, I think we tell it in Kairos, don't we? About a young man who came down to the shore and saw thousands of starfish that had been beached, and they, of course, are all dying. And he begins throwing the starfish back, but gosh, there's thousands of them. He's never going to get to them all. And so a skeptic, and you know the kind, the person that comes around that got a little negative take on things, and says to the kid, oh, you're not doing any good. Won't matter. Won't affect anything. Kid looked at the one and said, it might not get to all of them, but this one, it'll matter. And he threw the starfish back in the ocean to allow it to live. You know, in some very real and compelling ways, that's our role, is to bring people back to God that are dying apart from his goodness and mercy. And as we do that, we find ourselves at odds with this evil character that the Bible tells us about. But we fear not, because we're prepared and wear our armor and know that God is good forever and ever. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we know and trust God to take care of the things that weigh upon our hearts. We pray, believing that God is actively listening, actively assuaging the situations that we pray for. So join us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we look out and see this world so terribly broken. We see the events of Israel, and our hearts seize up with fear. Gracious God, be with us in this troubling time in the world as things seem to be careening more and more to chaos. Speak by the power of your Holy Spirit, reminding us that we are yours, that you'll be with us till the very end of the age and then into the kingdom forever. Remind us that you will be beside us as we walk through the storms and the fires and the waters. Remind us, Father God, of your love, your mercy, your provision, your care, your grace, and your love. Be with us and the people, especially of Israel and that whole region. Allow enemies to pray for one another, Father God. Do an amazing and righteous thing, breaking into that depravity and bringing and descending your peace into the situation. Father God, we pray for both sides, for you tell us to pray for our friends and our enemies. And so, Father God, we bring the whole situation before you, asking for your ongoing love. Peace to descend. Heavenly Father, we think of the ways that our lives are affected by the brokenness of this world. We think of the illnesses. We think of the sorrows and the confusions. And Heavenly Father, we just lift them all up to you, asking that you do a miraculous thing, Father God. Heal, provide, give hope to so many. We pray this especially this week for Jack Parker, for Dennis Abernathy, for Charlie McCrary, for Dale Lucky, for Jill Griffin, for Sarah Justice, for Tom McClure, for Nancy and Richard Smith. We pray for all of the many others that are in need of intercessory prayer, as well as the people that we've named silently in our hearts. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father God, you are so wonderful and so provident and provide so richly for us. It's just a blessing to bring a portion of those gifts back to you now. Father God, we pray for this offering and just ask that you use it to promote your glory in this your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As we prepare our days, remember that God has called you to a wonderful and righteous calling of sharing his gospel of peace with the world around you, to literally bring light into the darkness, to share the warmth and healing rays of the Lord's Son with the world. And in order to do that, we need preparation and we need to be prepared. So we must be in our word and in our knees in prayer and preparing ourselves for the battle that lies in front of us. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.